Today is Friday, May 9th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. Trump, Cryptocurrency, and the Criminalization of American Politics, by Patrick Martin. Since the finance aristocracy made the laws, was at the head of the administration of the state, had command of all the organized public authorities, dominated public opinion through the actual state of affairs and through the press, the same prostitution, the same shameless cheating, the same mania to get rich was repeated in every sphere, from the court to the café borgne, to get rich not by production, but by pocketing the already available wealth of others, clashing every moment with the bourgeois laws themselves, an unbridled assertion of unhealthy and dissolute appetites manifested itself, particularly at the top of bourgeois society, lusts wherein wealth derived from gambling naturally seeks its satisfaction, where pleasure becomes debauched, where money, filth, and blood commingle. The finance aristocracy, in its mode of acquisition as well as in its pleasures, is nothing but the rebirth of the lumpen proletariat at the heights of bourgeois society. So wrote Karl Marx, the founder of scientific socialism, in The Class Struggles in France, 1848 to 1850. As in so many other spheres, Marx provided not only a scalding critique of the infamies of the bourgeois society of his time, but an analysis of the fundamental tendencies of capitalism as a socioeconomic system that still drive bourgeois politics today. And in the persona of Donald Trump and his family of fascist parasites and swindlers, we have, as in the period leading up to the 1848 revolution in France, the reemergence, on the heights of bourgeois society, of every form of criminality in the service of wealth accumulation. The subject of Trump family corruption is an inexhaustible one. His first term was notorious for the use of his branded properties, various Trump hotels and resorts, as conduits for corporations and foreign governments to funnel cash into the family coffers. Behind the scenes, far greater sums were raked in through the overseas operations of Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, with more than $1 billion invested by Saudi monarchs and Gulf sheikhs alone. However, Trump's re-election last November and his return to the White House on January 20th have been accompanied by an even greater orgy of money-grubbing. By some estimates, the Trump family wealth has doubled since the election. His social media company, Truth Social, despite negligible advertising and customer base, has seen its stock price soar. The president has made significant cash from the sale of branded items ranging from replicas of his fascist executive orders to Bibles, golf clubs, and guitars. Trump has also raked in $500 million in contributions to various political action committees to fund future campaigns, although the Constitution bars him from seeking a third term in the White House. But nothing compares to the vast fortune accumulated through the Trump family's plunge into the cryptocurrency market, with the launching of World Liberty Financial, a venture that is 60% owned by the Trumps. It is overseen by sons Don Jr. and Eric, and co-managed by Zach Witkoff, the son of Trump's top Middle East envoy, billionaire Steve Witkoff. World Liberty has partnered with an array of companies whose financial flimflam is supposedly regulated by federal agencies now controlled by Trump himself. There was little to no interest in World Liberty before the election, but after Trump's victory, the value of its cryptocurrency, known as $WLFI, soared to a nominal $1.1 billion. Estimates reported by Fortune and Forbes magazines placed the Trump family's crypto fortune at between $2.9 and $6.2 billion. In a lengthy profile of World Liberty, the New York Times wrote, quote, "The firm, largely owned by a Trump family corporate entity, has erased centuries-old presidential norms, eviscerating the boundary between private enterprise and government policy in a manner without precedent in modern American history." Trump is now not only a major crypto dealer, he is also the industry's top policymaker. So far in his second term, Mr. Trump has leveraged his presidential powers in ways that have benefited the industry, and in some cases his own company, even though he had spent years deriding crypto as a haven for drug dealers and scammers. End quote. The super-rich have made use of World Liberty for what amounts to barely disguised bribes of Trump in return for favorable regulatory decisions and even presidential pardons. Chinese crypto billionaire Justin Sun, previously best known for paying $6.2 million for a piece of art consisting of a banana taped to a wall, bought $75 million of WLFI coin. Soon afterwards, the Security and Exchange Commission, now headed by a Trump appointee, asked a federal court to halt proceedings in a fraud case against Sun. Arthur Hayes of Athena Labs, a crypto partner of World Liberty, had pleaded guilty to violating the Bank Secrecy Act in 2022. Trump gave Hayes a full pardon on March 27. At least five cryptocurrency firms signed deals with World Liberty that profit Trump personally, even as he has adopted a series of policies favoring the industry. This includes the announcement that the U.S. Treasury would create a federal cryptocurrency stockpile, including Bitcoin, the industry leader, and Tether. Tether's price jumped 13% after the announcement, netting World Liberty a $33 million profit on its own holdings in Tether. In other words, Trump's decision on the stockpile put $33 million into his own pocket. Perhaps the most brazen purchasing of influence in the second Trump administration has come through the issuance of meme coins, a cryptocurrency that's tied to a joke, a phrase, or a particular personality. All cryptocurrencies are tokens with zero intrinsic value. They are generated through a complex computer-based calculation process that uses vast quantities of electricity and therefore represents a sizable waste of society's resources. They are vehicles of pure speculation that often follow a typical Ponzi scheme. New buyers drive up the price, and as long as the price rises, further new buyers are attracted. But once the buying spree stops, it's musical chairs with nothing at all to sit on. The real value drops to near zero, and the last holders lose everything. Trump issued two meme coins, Trump and Melania, on the eve of his inauguration. Insiders bought them for cheap, for pennies, and then cashed out as the price leapt to more than $7,000. In an analysis published May 8, the Washington Post reported, quote, nearly 67,000 crypto novices have pulled out their debit cards to bet on Trump's meme coin venture. So far, it's been a monumental bust, end quote. Of the small fry who poured $15 million into purchases that benefited Trump personally, 80% lost money and only 3% gained. Asked about the rise and fall in price at the expense of gullible supporters, Trump told NBC News Sunday dismissively, quote, I haven't even looked, end quote. Trump was concerned, however, about the response of big investors, announcing April 23rd that he would host the largest holders of his meme coins at a special gala dinner event on May 22nd. After an uproar, the location was switched from the White House to his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. The price of the meme coin jumped 69% in 4 days. Commentators have noticed that selling access to the president is a violation of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, but a subservient Supreme Court rejected a suit against Trump on this issue during his first term. There is hardly a murmur of opposition in official Washington to the naked self-enrichment of the second Trump term. 2 months ago, on March 6th, Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut made a lengthy presentation of the evidence of Trump's corruption on the floor of the Senate. His fellow Democrats yawned, the corporate media barely made reference to it, and the White House did not bother to respond. Under any previous U.S. president, such a record would have produced screaming headlines and demands for impeachment. Last July, the Supreme Court issued its ruling in Trump v. the United States, declaring that any U.S. president is immune from prosecution for actions carried out as part of the duties of his office. This would apply to actions such as selling pardons, or giving instructions to regulatory agencies and the U.S. Treasury that result in tens of millions in personal profit. Moreover, conflict of interest rules do not apply to the president. And just to tie up any loose ends, under Trump's Executive Order 14178, Justice Department prosecutors have been directed not to pursue criminal cases involving digital assets unless they relate to money laundering by drug cartels or terrorists, presumably not including the President of the United States. Last week, the state investment firm of the United Arab Emirates, one of the wealthiest oil sheikdoms, announced it would pump $2 billion into purchasing a new crypto coin issued by World Liberty Financial. The deal was revealed in Dubai by Zach Witkoff, with Eric Trump by his side. The same day, Bloomberg News reported that the Trump administration was considering relaxing restrictions on the sale to the UAE of NVIDIA chips used in artificial intelligence, which had been limited by the Biden administration. There's a long history of corruption scandals in America. More than a century ago, Mark Twain famously remarked, quote, there is no distinctly American criminal class except Congress, end quote. The Teapot Dome scandal in the early 1920s, involving bribery to obtain favorable oil leases, ended with the jailing of the Secretary of the Interior, Albert Fall, the first U.S. cabinet official to be sent to prison. The list of congressmen and senators arrested, prosecuted, and convicted for corruption is long and bipartisan, culminating in last year's conviction of Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, who stashed gold bars and other proceeds of bribery in his home. But the Trump regime marks a new quality. We have said that it is a government of, by, and for the billionaires, using the foulest and most anti-democratic methods to sustain its rule and enrich the class it represents. As David North, chairman of the World Socialist Website's International Editorial Board, said at our May Day rally, quote, "The White House floats atop a smelly dung heap of fraud. Trump, the crude huckster and maestro of swindle, is nothing but the personification of a criminal oligarchy," end quote. Community kitchens shut down in Gaza as food runs out, by Andre Damon. Dozens of community kitchens in Gaza were forced to shut down on Thursday due to lack of food amidst Israel's ongoing blockade aimed at starving the Palestinian population and annexing their land. Amjad Al-Shava, director of the Palestinian Non-Governmental Organizations Network, told Reuters on Thursday that most of Gaza's 170 community kitchens had shut down. He said, quote, "Everyone in Gaza is hungry today. The remaining kitchens will be closing soon. The hunger catastrophe is beyond words. People are losing their only source of food. I am afraid that we may begin to witness deaths among the elderly, vulnerable children, pregnant women, and the ill," end quote. Also on Thursday, the World Central Kitchen Charity announced that it had run out of food and was forced to shut down its community kitchens in Gaza. Founder Jose Andres said, quote, "Our trucks, loaded with food and supplies, are waiting in Egypt, Jordan, and Israel, ready to enter Gaza, but they cannot move without permission. Humanitarian aid must be allowed to flow," end quote. Huda Abu Diya, sheltering in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza, told Reuters, quote, "If it weren't for the community kitchen, we would have died. For the sake of our children, what shall we do? What should I feed them tomorrow? Nothing is available here. The situation is below zero. A bit more like this and we will die of hunger," end quote. Israel began the total blockade of food, water, and electricity in the Gaza Strip on March 2nd, when it unilaterally abrogated a ceasefire with Hamas. According to the UN, over 2 million people are facing severe food shortages. The price of flour has risen 100-fold since the start of the blockade. 1/3 of UN-run community kitchens in Gaza have closed within the past 10 days due to lack of food and fuel, with the UN warning that more closures are imminent. The UN's humanitarian office stated that for Palestinians, quote, "the hot meals provided by these kitchens constitute one of the last remaining lifelines," end quote. According to the Palestinian Water Authority, most people in Gaza are surviving on just 3 to 5 liters of water per day, only 1/3 to 1/5 of the minimum daily amount that humanitarian experts say is necessary for survival. More than 10,000 children in Gaza have been diagnosed with acute malnutrition, according to the World Health Organization. The number of new cases surged to 3,600 in March, up from 2,000 the previous month. In a statement this week, the Euromed Human Rights Monitor wrote, quote, "These outcomes are not incidental. They reflect a deliberate policy aimed at disrupting the natural development of individuals and society, and dismantling the biological and social foundations of the Palestinian community. This reveals a clear intent to destroy, one of the defining hallmarks of the crime of genocide under international law, especially when executed through slow, cumulative tools such as siege and systematic, sustained starvation," end quote. Lima Bastami, director of the legal department at the Euromed Human Rights Monitor, stated, "Israel's use of starvation as a weapon in Gaza is, quote, committed in broad daylight," end quote, citing the total closure of border crossings and the open acknowledgement by Israeli officials. Gaza, she said, is filled with, quote, irrefutable evidence of the crime's horror, the emaciated bodies of people and children, tens of thousands lining up daily at charity kitchens, and the escalating death toll from hunger, malnutrition, and associated diseases, end quote. The deepening starvation in Gaza is unfolding alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plan to fully occupy the territory and place the distribution of all remaining humanitarian aid under the exclusive control of the Israeli military. On Thursday, U.S. and international newspapers reported a proposal to have a group of American security contractors and ex-military officers called the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation take over the provision of food. The plan would bring the U.S. more directly into the occupation of Gaza, following the declaration by U.S. President Donald Trump earlier this year that the U.S. would own Gaza. The Washington Post reported that under the plan, the remaining population would be transferred to what are effectively concentration camps under armed guard. The Post wrote, quote, "Once inside the enclave, they would travel to Israel-designated distribution hubs in the south under the protection of U.S. security contractors. The contractors would also provide security in and around the hubs. Facial recognition technology is to be used to identify visitors to the hubs," end quote. On Thursday, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz called for the displacement of Palestinians into camps to protect Israeli forces, quote, against all types of threats. The entire Gazan population will be evacuated to areas in southern Gaza while creating a distinction between them and Hamas terrorists. Unlike in the past, the IDF will remain in any territory that is conquered to prevent the return of terrorism and to purge and thwart any threat, end quote. The Trump administration has embraced the Netanyahu government's plan, with the State Department spokeswoman Tammy Bruce declaring of a campaign of genocide, quote, "This is a new approach with one focus, get help to people right now," end quote. The plan has been condemned by the UN, which has said it would weaponize aid by only providing food to certain civilians. Tamara Al-Rifai, communications director for the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, told the Washington Post that it would set, quote, "a very dangerous precedent for using full siege as a tactic of war," end quote, to compel, quote, "existing aid structures and the entire international system that exists and is recognized and start creating a new system," end quote. Earlier this week, the Humanitarian Country Team, an umbrella group for humanitarian organizations in Gaza, condemned the proposal, saying, quote, "The design of the plan presented to us will mean large parts of Gaza, including the less mobile and most vulnerable people, will continue to go without supplies," end quote. It would have the effect of, quote, "driving civilians into militarized zones to collect rations, threatening lives, including those of humanitarian workers, while further entrenching forced displacement," end quote. The Euromed Human Rights Monitor added, quote, "The move reintroduces starvation, only under a humanitarian facade this time, legitimizing its continued use as a weapon within the context of an ongoing genocide that has lasted more than 19 months," end quote. Israeli bombardments continue across the Strip on Thursday. One airstrike on a group of young people using the internet killed 33, while another airstrike on a home in Beit Lahia killed 9. According to Gaza's health ministry, 106 people were killed and 367 wounded by Israeli attacks in the past 24 hours alone. Since the start of the genocide on October 7, 2023, tens of thousands have been killed or injured in Gaza, with the humanitarian crisis deepening under the ongoing blockade and military assault. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org. The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.